This is the William Hill Golf Podcast. Go to news.williamhill.com for all the podcasts or search William Hill Radio on iTunes.
Hello everyone, welcome along to the William Hill Golf Podcast. Good to have your company. On this Tuesday, it's Dave Kellner and Dave Tindall with you to preview two events this week. The final event of the FedEx Cup playoffs. We close things out with the Tour Championship and we have the Andalusia Masters on the European Tour as well. Dave Tindall joining me on Skype today. Dave, good morning to you first of all, sir.
Hello, Dave. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. I'm refreshed. I've been away in the lakes for a weekend, which has been good.
Were you there as well? I was there.
Oh, were you there as well? Yes. We should have done the podcast on the top of a mountain somewhere, Dave, yeah. In the lakes. Which part of the lakes were you in?
The kind of western lakes near the coast.
Okay.
So Ennerdale. Ennerdale was the big lake of my choice.
And
there.
You know what? I was at Ennerdale as well. Dave.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah, I had a wander around Ennerdale on...
Good grief.
Saturday, I think it was, and then we climbed Scarfell Pike that was on Friday. On Saturday, we went up Scarfell Pike.
Right, well, I was at Ennerdale on Saturday, so okay. Close.
And we missed one of the best weeks of the year in terms yeah. of drama on the PGA Tour as well.
Exactly, yeah. We were sort of oblivious. I mean, I was obviously keeping track of social media and the leaderboard, and everyone was saying it was brilliant. Well, for the first 3 days, it was brilliant, and yeah, I must admit, I looked at the scoreboard on Thursday. I thought, what's going on here? Because early on, I'd had two sort of my picks doing okay, and then they were suddenly sort of seven over and things like that. So, I guess had I seen it, I could speak more fluently about it, but it certainly on paper looked a refreshing change to what we normally get, and obviously better than the 30 under the week before.
Yeah, I was tracking it on social media as well, and I've obviously seen the Instagram post from the PGA Tour where they've replayed the final few shots of the championship with Dustin Johnson holing the 40-footer on the 72nd yes. hole to tie, and then John Rahm holding that 60-odd footer on the first playoff hole to win. And the thing that the overriding feeling that I had seeing that John Rahm put was similar to Tiger's chip on the 16th all those years ago at Augusta back in, I think it was 2005, where you see that camera angle from behind the hole, and because it's such a long putt and such a degree of difficulty and the speed of the putt as well, it almost stops at the top of the hill, then rolls down. You can see Rahm just appearing short, just chasing his ball, looking for that line as the ball almost inevitably passes the cut rather than going in for the comeback putt, and it just drops in. And the emotion there from John Rahm and from Dustin Johnson, we don't see that very often from Johnson either on the final hole. You need to think, what would that have been like with the crowds there? But it was still it looked a thrilling climax to the event.
Absolutely, and obviously it's put them in positions one and two going into the final event of the FedEx Cup, and I'm sure you're going to give us a detailed analysis of what happens now.
Yeah, we've got two betting markets out, outright betting markets out for the Tour Championship. One of them includes the FedEx Cup strokes, so Dustin Johnson heads the market there at 13-8 in that particular market. John Rahm is 11-4, Justin Thomas 11-2, Webb Simpson 11-1, Colin Morikawa 20-1, 22-1 bar. And in that particular market, it takes into account the FedEx Cup strokes, because we've got a staggered start this week on the PGA Tour for the Tour Championship, with Dustin Johnson number one in the race. He starts 10 under par, John Rahm 8 under par, Justin Thomas 7 under par, Webb Simpson 6 under, Colin Morikawa is 5 under par. You've got Berger, English, DeChambeau, Im and Matsuyama all at 4 under, Todd McElroy, Reed, Schauffele, Munoz at 3 under, Griffin, Scheffler, Neiman, Hatton and Finau at 2 under, Kisner, Anser, Palmer, Nahr and Leishman at 1 under, and all those at level par having to make up 10 shots on Dustin Johnson this week to scoop that $15 million bonus. Smith, Hovland, Hughes, Champ and Horschel face a bigger mountain than the one I climbed on Saturday afternoon, Dave, this week.
Very good.
And it's almost impossible to foresee an instance where the likes of Smith or Hovland can win this week?
Yeah, which is a bit odd, isn't it, in that sense? They've obviously changed the format several times in this final event, and it's obviously clearer who's going to win, because it's just, you look at the leaderboard and you're not sort of guessing. But in terms of the betting market, it's a bit different. I've got a funny feeling Tony Finau will win the other market. No one will know he's ever won.
We have,
won't be recognised.
Yeah, we have got that as the other market. That's the tournament winner without the FedEx Cup struts. So basically, that's the lowest 72-hole total this week. And Tony Finau's 20-1 in that market. I sort of bought into that narrative as well, that it could be Finau's week, because it's been held against him, hasn't it? The fact that he's only won once on tour, and that was in an opposite event, basically. He's 20-1, Tony Finau, to win this week. And he came through on Saturday and Sunday and managed to squeak a place for me. Like, I was very keen on him last week, and he managed a solo fifth in the end, but it was such a Tony Finau week, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. He was right up there, and then he just sort of went away. But, obviously, if you win, in terms of the tournament itself, if you shoot the lowest 72-hole score, that's kind of irrelevant, isn't it, for the win? They don't get, like, a pair of crystal goblets, do they, or anything?
And that's kind of the problem with betting on that market, I think, as well, Dave, because there could be, at some point, no incentive. So Ches Reavie came through last year, didn't he? I mean, it worked out perfectly for the tour last year, because McIlroy came from five strokes back to win. He won the FedEx Cup, and he was the lowest 72-hole score on the week as well. So that worked out ideally for the PGA Tour. I've seen a lot on Twitter written about the format and how it needs tweaking and changing and altering. I think this is a better format than the one before, where you had just a standard regular PGA Tour event that someone won, and then you had to work out who would actually claim the FedEx Cup. And it didn't work that way, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, I think maybe in past podcasts I slightly controversially suggested the idea of a Krypton Factor format, which is probably a program you don't know, but your dad will. they used to do it in reverse order, so the guy who had the lead started last. So, for example, this week, I don't know quite how you'd do it, but you'd probably give Mark Leishman about a 20-shot start, based on what he did last week. And then you kind of put out the fodder early on, and then the best players go last or down the leaderboard. How about that?
Yeah, but doesn't that give an unfair advantage to the player that's performed worst in the build-up to the FedEx Cup?
Completely, yes. So that's the flaw.
That seems like a major flaw as well in that system.
Yeah. I think as a spectacle, you the idea of putting the most out of form players out with the lead could be a blanket finish.
You just like the underdog, don't you, Dave? You're thinking about the underdog here.
Well, it'd be a 30-way tie for the lead if you got the handicap in, right?
What do you think to the idea that you have match play and the guy that's number one in the standings gets to choose their opponent in the first round, and you do it that way?
I kind of quite like the match play element. I was thinking more of the top seeds get a bye to the next round straight away.
Yeah, that seems like a fair way of doing it. My issue is I don't think match play comes across well when it's televised, really, apart from the Ryder Cup. The drama lessens as the week goes on with match play, doesn't it? And do I really want to see...
Maybe you could do like a reverse US amateur. You know, the US amateur has like stroke play and then turns into match play. Well, start this with match play, yeah, and then turn it to stroke play.
Could do that. Yeah, that would be more interesting. I think that's one of the that's a better idea than your Krypton Factor idea, I think, Dave.
Well, that wasn't difficult, but I'm sure there'll be supporters of that who like 70s TV shows on Granada.
And at the end of the day, I'm not really interested in a full day with two players battling it out, two very rich men battling it out for $50 million. That just doesn't excite me. I want to see drama on a final day. I want to see if I'd been watching last week, I'd have enjoyed last week because you saw John Rahm coming through the field on Saturday and Sunday and then holding that 60-footer in a dramatic playoff. That's what I want to see from a sporting perspective. I'm not interested in just a couple of rich guys getting even richer on Sunday.
Yeah, no, I certainly agree on that one.
How are you playing it from a betting perspective this week then? Is it the tournament winner without the FedEx Cup struts or with the FedEx Cup struts which appeals to you most from a betting perspective?
Yeah, it's almost a double negative, which appeals doesn't appeal least. I don't know. It's like it's tricky. I don't quite know that it lends itself to great betting. I mean,
I agree with you. I think
you say that. I guess every you say somebody like way back might lose interest and could have won the lowest 72 hole score had they actually bothered. But I suppose that they're all getting lots of money, aren't they? So they don't want to just. I guess the difference between finishing 12th and 14th is worth it for them.
Yeah, possibly. I mean, the top eight all get a guaranteed $1 million, don't they, this week?
Yeah.
I just wonder whether, because you're dealing with the 30 guys that have accumulated the most money basically this year.
Have some more.
Yeah, have some more. Does the extra 100, 150 grand, 200 yeah. grand really matter for these guys? I don't know. Maybe it does. And maybe it incentivises some more than others as well. I think what we saw last year is Rory McIlroy showed that he came from five back to win. Xander Schauffele was second. He came from six back to finish second. So you can see volatile swings here.
Yeah.
It feels a little bit different this year with Dustin Johnson obviously starting two strokes ahead of John Rahm, DJ having won by 11 at the Northern Trust and finished second last week, and John Rahm having come through the field on Sunday, Saturday and Sunday to win. It's going to be more difficult maybe to overhaul that pair than it was last year.
Yeah, although I think ultimately that is the market I will play, and I don't think you can go too far down, especially given how good that top three is. But we are a fifth the odds top five
yeah.
in that market, so there is scope. And the one I'm going to fall on is Webb Simpson.
I like Webb Simpson. He's one of my two selections in this market
yeah.
as well.
Yeah. He's four shots. So he's got four shots to make up, so it's realistic that he can win this from four shots back, and it gives him a clear focus. All he's got to do is hold his position and you would get the each-way money on an 11-to-1 chance. So you would win if he's your only pick at 11s. He's just been in fantastic form. He knows how to win suddenly when it seemed... Obviously, he's a US Open winner, but he'd lost that habit. But he's really back into winning ways this season. He's just fantastic, isn't he, on Bermuda grass. And these greens got changed to Bermuda quite a few years ago. And his course form, Webb Simpson, certainly makes you think that he's got a huge chance this week, just going back through some of his performances. He was fourth a couple of years ago. He's got a fourth. Well, he's got two fourths and a fifth in the last six editions that he's contested. So he's hitting that top five, which is what you need to do for each way at the moment. We just look at another filter. You look at his form in Georgia, last five starts, second, 20th, fifth, third, fourth. So he loves this. He's very, very happy in this state, plays well. And then the other factor, obviously, he took last week off.
Yeah.
Because he just thought that course or the greens on that course weren't for him. It was such a grueling week for them last week that if there is some fatigue in some of the top players, then he's got to be coming in there nicely raced. I mean, his two performances before that, sixth at the Northern Trust, third at the Wyndham, he's banging form and could be taking on a few tired horses. So just about the logical pick for me is Webb Simpson at 11s in that proper full race to the line market.
Yeah, I like Webb Simpson. He's one of my two selections here. You mentioned the form in Georgia, Donald Ross design as well, East Lake, and he ranks first in the field in strokes gained on Donald Ross courses. Record at East Lake is particularly good. Three top fives in his last six appearances as well. And you mentioned it, par 70s on Bermuda grass, where Webb Simpson typically shows his best form, and it is significant, I think, that he decided to rest last week. And East Lake is a venue in which you need to find fairways. I think, I mean, we talk about this a lot, don't we, and whether or not finding fairways is important in the grand scheme of things. But if you miss these fairways, this Bermuda rough does make it difficult to find the greens. Green in regulation percentage when missing the fairways here is less than 50%. I think you need a good all-round game, including a sharp short game to contend. And Webb Simpson ticks all the boxes this week, really, and 11-1 each way I thought was a good price.
Yeah, absolutely agree. I mean, I suppose if I was, this might be your second pick, I don't know, but if I was having a second one, I'd just go down one more slot to Morikawa at -5.
He's my other pick here.
Right, yeah. Well, I'll let you, I'll give the floor to you.
Yeah, he's just driven the ball very well recently. When he does that, he's always going to threaten because he's in the top three iron players in the world, as far as I'm concerned, Colin Morikawa. And I thought Steve Bamford over at Golf Betting System, who's been on this podcast in the past, and they do wonderful work over at Golf Betting System, he comes up with an eight-tournament window of strokes gained statistics, which is something that I really like each and every week. And Morikawa comes out fourth in strokes gained off the tee and sixth in strokes gained approaching that window, which is just testament to his all-round game. And you need an all-round game at East Lake. That's really important. And I just thought he caught the eye statistically on Saturday and Sunday. I didn't see any of the golf, but he would have been in the coverage anyway because he was too far back, Morikawa. But he picked up almost six strokes on the field over the weekend. And I do think this is a challenge that he's going to relish, really. The only negative I see with Morikawa is the greens, because he has been putting very well in the main, but he's still not proven on greens of this speed. And I think we're still learning about Colin Morikawa. But Bermuda, statistically, his worst surface at the moment. So hopefully he can put that to one side this week. I do think he'll like being five back of DJ and three back of Rahm and looking to hunt those guys down. And that's something I think he's going to prosper in this sort of environment this week. And with that all-round game and the hot iron player, can see Morikawa contending this week. And as you've already mentioned, he's in that position already where if you back him each way and he plays decent enough golf, he's gonna fill one of the frame spots here as well. So I think each way at 20-1, he's a fair bet.
Yeah, I suppose the negatives would be he's not played the course before. Yes. And I have a slight concern that he might still be a bit sort of mentally frazzled to win this.
After the PGA.
He won the PGA, and then he said he had a load of commitments after that, and then he's played the Northern Trust and the BMW. I suppose he missed the cut in the Northern Trust, so he had two extra days off. Mm. But I just think he might chuck in a bad round when he's just might mentally switch off slightly.
Yeah, it's a possibility.
That's my fear.
Mm. How far would you go down then? I think to maybe those four unders still have a realistic chance of winning the FedEx Cup.
I'd as I'm not backing Morikawa, I'd say it's amongst the top four. They're too good.
Yeah.
DJ, Rahm, Thomas and Webb Simpson. I can't see anyone overhauling them, to be honest. I mean, the four unders, Berger's course form's okay, but it's nothing special, is it? He's not had a top 10 here before. And there's only 30 in the field and he's come 15th twice. That's hardly amazing, is it?
It might look good.
Fifth, always come 15th twice, but that's bang in the middle.
Yeah, and you could maybe level that at the likes of John Rahm and Dustin Johnson, perhaps as well. That their course form, you see it on paper and you think, wow, that's good, but you forget it's a 30-man field and they're finishing in the maybe top 30%, which is like in a regular week finishing 50th for these guys, isn't it? Kind of thing.
Well, yeah, but although to be fair, DJ's course form, I know he was horrendous last year and was last, but before that he was in the top six in four of the previous five.
That's true. Yeah, so, he did finish 17th in 3 years ago as well, didn't he? So
yeah,
it's been a bit in and out for Dustin Johnson, hasn't it? But Rahm, 7th, 11th and 12th, it's not scintillating course form,
no.
Is it? They both seem to have had similar issues at East Lake, that pair, with the short game really and the putting.
Yeah, so there are some doubts about them, but I just, again, back to my fantastic Krypton factor idea. If you put those at 4 under and then gave people like Sung Jae-im at 10 under or Harris Ings at 10 under, that would be a proper... There's still some flaws, as we've accepted in my plan, but...
It needs ironing out a little bit, doesn't it?
Yeah, but I just think there's two... In those top four, Johnson, Rahm, Thomas, Simpson, there's too much. I suppose the one who could, and he showed it last year, could absolutely jump out of the pack and surpass them all if he was bang on it, is McIlroy, but he's not bang on it, and he could walk off the course because he's due a baby, isn't he?
Yes, he is. Congratulations to the McIlroy family. And yeah, that's obviously been playing on his mind. It's something he's alluded to and then referenced at the weekend as well.
Yeah. And then the other one in the 3 unders, I mean, it's still 7 back, isn't it, is Xander Schauffele, who's got a brilliant course record.
I think a lot of people will be looking at the likes of Schauffele and maybe McIlroy to a lesser extent in that tournament with winner without the FedEx Cup Strokes market. DJ heads the betting now at 5-1. John Rahm 11-2. Rory McIlroy 10-1. Justin Thomas 10-1. Xander Schauffele 12-1. Bryson is 14s. Webb Simpson 14-1. Colin Morikawa and Daniel Berger both 18s, 20-1 and bigger in the market there. The one that caught my eye in that particular market is Billy Horschel, because of his course form, really, having won it in 2014, seventh in 2013, second a couple of years ago, and has been playing well in the main. Horschel, he was the one there each way that I won't put him up as an official bet, but from those guys lower down that I don't think can actually win the FedEx Cup, obviously Horschel's even par, so he's got zero chance pretty much. 33-1 for him to have the lowest 72-hole total stood out there.
Yeah, that's fair enough. I mean, in terms of the stats you mentioned before, I was looking back at previous years. Tee to green last year, the top three home finished first, second and fourth strokes gained tee to green.
Yeah.
And you go down and they're the ones that stands out. Schauffele was second strokes gained tee to green when he won. McIlroy 2016, he was second. In that category, Kevin Chappell first in that category. So if I was picking one based on fantastic tee to green numbers, I might look at Scotty Scheffler.
Yeah.
Because he's just gained ridiculous amounts over the last few events. Again, he's come into a tournament he's not played before. Although he's got some good form in Georgia, just worth pointing out. Fifth in the RSM and second in the Savannah Golf Championship, which is a Korn Ferry event. So in two visits to Georgia, he's got a fifth and a second. Again, he could freewheel it a little bit. I mean, he was fourth at the PGA Championship, fourth at the Northern Trust. He was in great form. And the BMW was a tough event, but he did finish off with a 66. So he's been playing great. So he's just someone. It's all bonus money, isn't it, for him, I think. So he could be one of those. He's probably too far back to make an impact on the final standings, but he could just have a free hit and win that lowest 72-hole score.
Yeah, I can see that. Should we talk about the Handel Lithium Masters? Are there anything else you want to mention with the FedEx Cup Tour Championship first?
Well, the only thing worth pointing out is it starts on Friday.
That is worth pointing out, definitely. So it's a Friday to Monday.
It's the bank, was it? Bank holiday, I mean, over there in America. It always used to fall on the Deutsche Bank, didn't it? The Friday to Monday one. But this time it's the Tour Championship. So if you don't get yourself in a panic if you've not got your bet on by late on Thursday evening, because it starts Friday.
Very good. And the Andal Lithium Masters does start Thursday. Traditional start for the Andal Lithium Masters. And Rasmus Højgaard having won last week, 12-1. Bernd Wiesberger, 14-1. Thomas Dietrich, 14-1. Martin Keimer's 14s, along with Andy Sullivan as well. It's 20-1. Houghton Lee, Joost Luiten and Lee Westwood. Marcus Kinnelt, Jorge Campillo, Victor Perez, all 25-1. Robert McIntyre is 28-1, and it's 30-1 and bigger the rest. And this event, the Andal Lithium Masters, takes on extra importance because of the course more than anything. Valderrama is the host venue this week, and it's an institution on the European Tour. A classic track, not a long track, but demanding. Fairways tough to find as they wind between the trees, and the wind is set to blow this week as well, which will only add to the test. And I always think that coming into a tournament hosted by Valderrama, it's not a course that a player is necessarily going to find their form. I'm always looking for a player that's going to focus on a on a pro that's coming in with some substance there, recent play, and that's what I've done this week in the main as well, Dave.
Yes, a very fair point. I suppose the other slight, not myth, but maybe red herring, is that you simply look for players who are brilliant tee to green because it's tree-lined and you need to find fairways and hit greens, but they're so hard to hit that everyone's missing them, and therefore maybe the last proper guy to fit that bill was Beef when he won. You thought, oh, well, he's just a monster tee to green and he loves that kind of thing. But it's actually short game, isn't it, when you look at the stats? Christian Bezuidenhout last year was just incredible. Short game numbers, that's why he won.
Yeah,
He was first around the green, first in putting. So he was just phenomenal. And if you go back to other events where those figures aren't necessarily available, but you're looking at scrambling, and Sergio was right up there in terms of scrambling when he won in 2018. So big emphasis on short game, but I think you can't really have any flaws. You can't just whack it in the trees off the tee either. So you need definitely that sharp short game, but you need to have a good tee to green game as well.
Yeah, I think it's a proper test, isn't it, basically? It's a wonderful course, and I'm looking forward to watching this all 4 days, but on Thursday morning in particular. I've come up with one bet here, Dave.
I could have picked about seven in this.
Could you? How many have you whittled it down to?
Six. No. Well, it's a good question, because if you look at the front end, I probably shy away from them because the prices aren't too brilliant. But I could certainly back Bernd Wiesberger at 14s. I thought he had a really good tournament last week.
Yeah.
I think you look at his numbers and they fit perfectly to do well here. Andy Sullivan's got some great short game numbers of late. He's played it well before. He was solid, tied ninth, wasn't he, last week? So they're the two at the front end. Hao Chong-Li as well, he could go well. But I'm going to look at some bigger prices. I've got three, therefore.
Oh, very good. You lead off then with your first selection.
Yeah. My first one is going to be Max Kiefer.
Oh, I can see him going really well.
Yeah. 100-1, we've got Max Kiefer.
Yeah.
I think my eye was completely drawn to his around the green numbers in recent events. If you look at the recent UK swing events, he was six around the green at the Wales Open, fourth at the Celtic Classic, seventh at the Hero Open. If you go back quite a long way in time, but not in terms of tournaments played, he was second around the green in the Qatar Masters. So fantastic short game skills there. But he's also been playing well tee to green, 17th and 23rd in the two events at Celtic Manor, second tee to green at the Hero Open. So he's got a lot of good stats for him. And in terms of actual finishes, which is, I guess, the main thing, sixth at the Hero Open, 14th at the Celtic Classic. They're two of his last four events. Now, he's got a fifth place here at Valderrama. That's the real clincher for me. That was just 2 years ago. So he's got an awful lot going for him for a 100-1 shot. So given that he's so proficient in that around the green number that I'm looking at closely, I thought 100-1. I thought I'd find him at 80s or something like that, but hundreds is an each way bet for me.
I like it a lot. 100-1. Maximilian Kiefer is Dave's first selection. I'm going slightly shorter in the market for my solitary pick here, and I'm going with the Swede Sebastian Soderberg as my
he's
selection.
One of mine.
Oh, is
well.
He? Yeah, I think this fits for him, doesn't it? He comes into this. I wanted recent form. He's got the recent form. He ranked sixth in tee to green when he had a chance to win in tough conditions at the Celtic Classic. 11th in tee to green when 10th in the Wales Open the week before. His win came on an idiosyncratic layout at Crans-sur-Sierre in Switzerland. There's been some crossover with form there and form here as well. And I thought 55s was fair enough for a player that comes in with a couple of top 10s to his name, his last two. And he's got one piece of form around Valderrama, 23rd on debut. So Sebastian Soderberg, the Swede, is my one selection.
Yeah, all that, basically. So,
and he ranks seventh in around the green this year, which leads into what you were saying about short game as well.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. I think it's... I did like that link with Kranz. So he won there and can do this on a tree-lined fiddly course. So, yeah, all for that.
And your final selection?
Yeah, I don't think anyone will put him up this final one, but I will, to be different. Adrian Meronk.
Okay, he's a bit of a bomber, isn't he?
He is, but again, I was looking at his short game numbers, just in terms of whether hitting it long is any good here. It's surprising that 2018, Lowry ranked first for driving distance, Shane Lowry here, a couple of years ago, and finished second. So if you can get it out there and get it straight, then that's quite a decent combination. But Meronk, it's more to do with his around the green numbers. He ranked first strokes gain around the green at the Celtic Classic, again 6.299 strokes, which is a hefty number. Six around the green in the English Championship, which was a fine display. So he was sixth at the Celtic Classic, 34th at the English Championship, which that's not so brilliant, but it was a nice build-up. So he's played well since the tour resumed. So that's 6-2 starts ago. Not played at the course, but he seems to really enjoy playing in Spain. Looking at his past five events, these are Challenge Tour, to be fair, but 9th, 18th, 7th, 18th, 23rd. So he's someone who's certainly very happy playing on Spanish soil. And looking at some other numbers, he was got good tee to green figures at the Celtic Classic when he was six, putted well there. It's just there's lots of parts of his game that seem to be working quite well. And if he can fit them together in a particular week, as you say, he does hit it a long way. So if he can add a bit of accuracy. I mean, he hit nearly 60% of his fairways last time out.
Yeah.
So I'm just hoping he takes to this one. Again, there's a lot in contention, but I thought 100-1 he could give us an each way run.
Yeah, I thought Alexander Bjork might be on your mind. I know he's got a really good short game, hasn't he? And I know that you've mentioned him quite a few times in these events, mainly in the UK, but he looks quite a good fit for this week.
Yeah, I probably put him up enough and he hasn't delivered to make me just think, well, you've had your chance. I suppose the other one at a more not quite in that favourites bunch would be Marcus Kinnelt at 28-1.
Yeah.
He's just got some nice form. 13th in the UK Championship, 15th in the Wales Open. Around the green in those two events, he was 4th and 7th, which is good.
I think he's number two on tour, actually, in terms of short game.
Yeah, so I always think he won the British Masters, didn't he, on the links?
Yeah.
Where was that? Tommy Fleetwood's course. So I always think if you win on the links, you've got a good short game. And his course form is sort of okay. He's got miscut 22nd, 42nd. So it's not amazing, but the 22nd suggests there's hope there. And he's another with really good form in Spain at Challenge Tour and Nordic Golf League level.
Mm.
So just plenty of bits there. I think I wanted slightly more than 28, so that's why he's not an official pick.
Yeah, and I looked at Sami Välimäki as well as one that, I mean, he's making his debut at this track, and it's a difficult course to make your debut at, isn't it? He's finished 6th and 2nd on his last two starts and done absolutely nothing wrong, but 35's just too skinny for me.
Yeah,
I preferred Soderberg at 55.
Yeah, the other one who's, we're doing this Tuesday morning, so it's hardly late to the party, but we are sort of late to the party in terms of the fact that he's been picked out and backed, is Jorge Campillo.
Yes.
Now down to, I wrote down 28, so about 10 minutes.
25.
He's now 25, so he's getting shorter by the minute.
Yeah.
He's obviously the local Spaniard who's come back to form after it. Well, he was sort of in brilliant form, wasn't he? Was it last year when he was just in the top five every week? Mm. And then he went to pieces, but he's certainly got it back now. Winner in Qatar, last two events, 8th and 7th, with some good around-the-green numbers.
Yeah.
So 20, 25 to 1. Again, I've just got a slight feeling of missing the boat on him.
Yeah.
But no surprises if he gets an each way place.
Do you want to recap the selections for this week then, Dave? Starting off with the feature event, which is the Tour Championship.
Yeah, so in the normal...
The tournament winner, including the FedEx Cup Strokes, is how it's written on the William Hill website.
That's probably more clarification. I will play Webb Simpson at 11-1. It's a fifth, the first five, so I need a bit of a stake on him. So I'll go, I'm confident, 2 points each way on Webb Simpson.
I'll take a point each way on Webb Simpson. I'll go half your stake there at 11-1, and I'll take a point each way on Colin Morikawa at 20-1 as well. And in Spain, set for a good week at Valderrama, the Andalucía Masters.
Yeah, I'm going to go half of quite a hefty stake on Simpson, so I'll rein it in a bit for this other tournament where I'm spreading the love a little bit. So I'm going to go for Max Kiefer at hundreds, Adrian Maronk at hundreds, and Sebastian Soderberg at 55s. I'll go half a point each way on all three.
I'll go a point each way, Sebastian Soderberg at 55-1. Dave, thank you for your company.
Thanks, Dave. Yeah, enjoyed it.
Thank you, everyone that's tuned in and listened. Do follow us on Twitter at Dave Tindall Golf and at D Kellner. And make sure you tell your friends about the podcast. Retweet the podcast as well if you enjoy it. Thank you, everyone that's tuned in and listened. Check out all the betting for this week's events at williamhill.com and on the app. Don't forget the Tour Championship starts on Friday. The Andalucía Masters starts on Thursday. We've got two outright markets up for the Tour Championship, so make sure you focus on whichever one you prefer. The tournament winner includes, including the FedEx Cup Strokes, in which Dustin Johnson has a two-shot lead already on Jon Rahm, and the tournament winner without the FedEx Cup Strokes, which is the lowest 72-hole total throughout the week. And Dustin Johnson heads that market there, but at 5-1 this time from Jon Rahm, who is 11-2, and it's 10-1. McIlroy and Thomas in that market, with Schauffele at 12s and DeChambeau 14-1, and so on and so forth there. So check all that out at williamhill.com and on the app. And if you're having a bet on the golf this week with William Hill, the very best of luck. And myself and Dave, we will be back next week.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.